Praise the Lord. We welcome you to the house of the Lord tonight, and those that are joining us online, we also welcome you to the house of the Lord. We want to continue our study here in Ephesians chapter 4, but before we get started, let's just open in a brief word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the privilege and opportunity we have to come and to fellowship here around the word, reminded of Adam and Eve, Lord, that would just gather for service in the cool of the evening. And God, how you would just come down and speak to them. So we pray as the children of Adam and Eve that you would come and speak to us tonight. God, bring revelation, understanding to us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the word. And God, that we'd be obedient to it. Anything that might find us, Lord, in a place that we might need to make some adjustments, and help us to do that, Father. I ask that you just get glory and honor out of all that happens here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just turn in our Bibles here to Ephesians 4. Just a few verses here, starting at verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. That's doing everything you can to keep peace. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as your call, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended, send it up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We'll just stop there in our reading for tonight. We've been focusing on these verses, actually 4, 5, and 6 is where our focus has been for the last couple of weeks. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We tried to just go through that on last week, and like I said, in last couple of weeks, Christendom, most people think they're really standing on something when they... when they look at Matthew 28, and you know, when Jesus says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, most people really think they stand on something, that they're standing on what Jesus said, and this is why they do the baptism that way. The unfortunate part is that they don't have a revelation of what Jesus said. This is why Peter could come along later on. And 10 days after Jesus told him that, and Peter would baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that I didn't think about it, but I want to just kind of bring this point before I go further. We'll go to the key statements here, and I'll get to those. I think it's on slide 7. I'll get to those. But Peter did not do exactly what Jesus said as far as baptizing in the name of Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Peter had a revelation of what Jesus said. But as far as doing it exactly the way Jesus said, that didn't happen. And I want to apply that because even today we might hear somebody say, well, Brother Branham said, say what I said, right? Say what I said. And then you have certain groups that want to say exactly what the prophet said, even, you know, sometimes in reading a quote, they might read and might say dot, dot, dot. And just put all kind of, you know, just emphasis on everything that the prophet said. And my statement that I want to make is, when we're saying what the prophet said, we have to say it with a revelation. Right. the same way Peter actually said what or did what Jesus, you know, told him to do, but he did it with a revelation. So it's important that we catch that part, you know, when we're you know, following this message. It's with the revelation that you're doing things. It's not, you know, Brother Branham wasn't trying to get you to follow every comma and every dot and every period. And no, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. But understand the revelation of what he was saying and then say that. Amen. All right. These are some key statements here in the section. We will try to bring closure to just these few verses and then we'll move on. But says there's only one church, and that is not a denomination. You can't denominate God's church. There's one church and one body. That body is the mystical body of Jesus Christ here on earth. And by one spirit, we're all baptized into that one body. He says, you might have a faith, but we want the faith. Earnestly contend, that's argue for, standing, stand up for, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. What we see in Scripture is what we want to see in the church. Amen. Everything that God promised, we want to see in the church. Here, this next statement says, what was the test? They all drink in the same rock. They all eat the same spiritual manna as we're eating this morning. But the word test is what proved them. And when we read that particular quote, you know, the fullness of that quote, Brother Branham was talking about how many experienced, you know, all the things that, all the supernatural things that in Moses' ministry. The Bible actually stated were baptized unto Moses. But they experienced all these supernatural things. But when it came time to go over into the promised land, my, that's where the word test came in. As to whether they were just going to take God at his word, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what was against them or what they actually perceived was against them. The perception was that we are as grasshoppers in their sight. That's a perception. That's not reality, right? The reality of it was that when the children of Israel finally went over into the promised land, Rahab told them the reality. Rahab said, we knew God was going to give you all this land. We was afraid, right? So the reality was those people looked at themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of the children of Israel. Oh, my. Amen. Can I tell it to you like this? The devil more afraid of you than you are of him. All right? So understand it's the word test, recognizing who we are and standing on what God has promised us. Amen. Don't move from that. God will give us, amen, the word test sometimes. Just stay with the word. Stay with the word. Keep quoting that word no matter what. Hallelujah. I will rejoice over them to do them good. Plant them in the land assuredly. And I love God's word. I'm telling you, when I'm going through, all you need to do is give me a scripture. Just give me a scripture. Give me a promise in God's word, and I'm like, okay, that give me a peace. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, you know, if you want peace, you have to understand peace is a person. Peace is a person. If you want peace, you're going to have to know this person. Right? Without knowing this person, you're not going to have no peace. Right? Like Brother Troy said, the Prince of Peace. Right? Peace is a person. Amen. Right? So you know, his word is what gives us peace. It gives us comfort. One brother sent out a little text today, and I said, boy, I needed that one. It was, I can't think of the exact, I know it's the Old Testament scripture, might be in Chronicles, I believe. But it talks about how God looks to get involved in some of the things that we're going through. You know, he's going throughout the land looking for something that he can get involved in. And I'm like, Lord, I got something. I got something I need you to show up in, right? Just do what you do, right? Hallelujah. But the word of God just brings you peace. It brings you the peace that you need. All right, this next statement says, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. Amen. This next statement says, and now in this last age, we have come back to the capstone revelation, the most important revelation of the Godhead in the whole Bible, that is, Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So I am slipping over here to slide 10. And verse 6 is the verse that we are dealing with tonight. Ephesians 4:6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Just on this slide, there's a statement here. Just a portion of a quote says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Now, we'll read that later on out of the Bible, but that's an Old Testament scripture. And we can't start out in the Old Testament with one God and then get over to the New Testament and end up with three gods. Right? That's somebody got something wrong somewhere. You know, if the Bible clearly says the Lord thy God is one God, right? We have to keep that picture. Amen. There it is again. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The New Testament does not reveal another God. It is a further revelation of the one and same God. Christ did not come down to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. I love this. He came to reveal and make known the Father. So Christ didn't come to reveal the Son. He actually came to reveal the Father. Amen. Amen. I remember a statement Brother Branham used to say. He said he thought God was upset with him, just mad at him. It says, but he thought that Jesus was just grace and just, you know, just loved him so much. He gave his life for him. It's just the love of God that was in Jesus. He said, and then he finally realized that Christ was the very heart of God. This was God's full expression of himself in Christ. Hallelujah. That means he always wanted to die for you. He always wanted to make a way for you. He always wanted to bring healing to you. This is the very heart of God. Amen. Christ was the very heart of God. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look at a statement here. I got a couple quotes that I want to read as we just kind of deal with this one God. One God. This out of the message, God being misunderstood, there's a question that came up, and this question says, in a statement of faith, and a lot of times churches have their statements of faith as to what they believe. I remember, you know, having to work for a church, and they had a statement of faith, and you had to sign, you know, that you believe certain things. They, you know, if you didn't sign it, you couldn't work there. And I had to kind of sign it and put some additional information, you know, on this. And so they had a particular pastor that they felt should come and talk to me. And, you know, just to kind of make sure that I understood where they were coming from. So as we began to talk, you know, I was kind of sharing with him. I said, you know, I don't believe that there are three gods. One Father, one Son, one Holy Ghost. Oh, no, we don't believe that either. Say, but your statement of faith kind of says it that way, that you believe in three gods. No, we only believe in one God, but your statement of faith says it. I said, I'm going to read this in this quote here, but if you got a God in three persons, then you got three gods. And I said, I don't believe that. I said, it's just one God that just had multiple offices. That's all it was. But so I had the opportunity just to kind of express what my belief was, right? Amen. This is my statement of faith, right? I don't believe in three gods. You ain't gonna give me no three gods. And see, that's why certain songs you can't even sing in church. I mean, man, they real. And I heard, you know, when people did that holy, holy, holy. And I mean, boy, sometimes they get that thing going, them voices like, ooh, that song is something. Ooh, powerful song. Then they start bringing them words in. God in three persons. Oh, Lord. I can't say that out my mouth. Blessed Trinity. Trinity ain't nowhere even in the Bible. Right? So like, you know, a lot of times, you know, church just don't understand and they fight over these things. They'll fight you over it. I mean, you talk about contending for the faith. They be contending, you know. But no, that ain't in the Bible. And we not supporting it. But here, this statement, it says, in a statement of faith, they said, we believe in one God. And look at how they put it. We believe in one God, eternal. And see, this is why you can't, intellectually, you can't try to understand God intellectually. Look at, we believe in one God, eternal, existing in three persons. We believe in one God, eternal, but he's existing in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they quote in scripture here, on this quote, it says Matthew 28:18-19. And then it says 1 Corinthians 13:14. Now, I want to just mention that 1 Corinthians 13:14 does not exist. That's not in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:14. However, I think maybe this could have been referring to 2 Corinthians 13:14. We'll read it later. All right. He says, should this not be three offices instead of three persons? So Brother Branham says, you are correct. There is no three persons in the Godhead, and there cannot be a personality without being a person. It takes a person to make a personality. So anybody saying God in three persons, that's three different personalities. And that's not what our God is. It's one God and multiple offices. Amen. It says, it takes a person to make a personality. There is no three gods. There is only one God. And that God is Jesus Christ. God is a spirit that lived in Jesus Christ and is living in his church. God is a spirit that lived in Jesus Christ and is living in his church, you and I, today separating himself to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, which is God, Almighty himself living in you. Now you are right. It is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is three offices of the same God, but not three gods. That is scripturally wrong. All right, so these scriptures that were just referred to in this question, I just want to read them really quick. We've read Matthew 28, but I'll read it again. Because the church really thinks they're standing on something when they read this. This is what Jesus said. And like I just said, you have to say what he said with a revelation. That's what Peter did when he, 10 days later in Acts 2, he said what Jesus said with a revelation. And here in Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So again, you have to know the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. The name is Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These are just different offices of the same God. He also referred to 2 Corinthians 13:14, and I just want to give you that really quick. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Like I said, I know the quote says 1 Corinthians 13:14, but according to my reading, that scripture doesn't exist. Yeah. It stops at verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 13. But 2 Corinthians 13:14, I think, might be what they are referring to. on the wrong one. But here, you know, again, the church world is using this and trying to prove that there's three gods, or God existing in three persons. That doesn't make sense. Here in verse 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, what get them is this and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. They just see three different things when they look at that. And unfortunately, it's like Lot. When two angels showed up down in Sodom, Lot saw them as lords, my lords. But when three showed up, God and two angels showed up just before they went to Sodom, they went to Abraham's tent. Abraham saw three visitors, but he said, my Lord. Amen. So you got to be able to see these things. You got to be able to see this one God. I look at how people hack up this Bible, and it reminds me of something I was talking about a little earlier today. You know, in the story of Gabriel coming to visit Mary and telling Mary that, you know, she was going to have a child, and here she was, a young woman, never been touched by a man, and Gabriel tells him, she says, be it unto me according to thy word. I was sharing with some brothers this morning. I said, you know, the sad part is that the same angel Gabriel visited Zechariah just before he visited Mary. And when he visited Zechariah and gave him the promise, Zechariah actually doubted. And because he doubted, he ended up going dumb, right? And here Zechariah had the ability to look back in scripture, look at people like Sarah, look at people like Hannah. They had been barren, but God blessed them, and they had a child. He could look at that and say, okay, if God did it for Hannah, God did it for Sarah, God can do it for my wife Elizabeth. But rather than look back at the word, he chooses to doubt. So angels say, okay, you're going to doubt? I mean, can you imagine that? A supernatural angel coming right there talking to you, and you doubt. I mean, an angel that's able to change the situation, and you sitting there doubting. And then telling, like, yeah, right. Do you realize who you're talking to? I'm the one that I'm sent from the presence of God to make this happen for you. And he's a preacher doubting. Right? The same angel. So people can have, amen, and what I'm trying to get to is like people can, you know, they can, here he has a visitation from an angel. He doubts. Mary, when she's given a promise of something that she can't look back in scripture and see nobody that has ever had a baby without being touched. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And because she said the right thing, because she agreed with the word, she got pregnant right there without sensation. People can have the same Bible that we have, same Bible, and look at this one scripture and see three gods. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Can I tell you, Jesus was God's love. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. And we already know that Jesus told us that when he left, he was going to send the Comforter. And that Comforter be with us forever. We have communion with the same Spirit. It's God's Spirit that is now inside of us. That same Spirit that was in Jesus is now inside of us. No matter what you do, you're not going to be able to get me to see three gods. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. All right. Let's go on a little further here. This come out of Church Age book. I want you to watch this carefully now and see something really sweet and beautiful. I said this is his end time revelation of himself. When the day of grace closes, then the millennium comes very shortly thereafter, doesn't it? Well, read with me Isaiah 65, verse 16 through 19. Says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. This is about New Jerusalem. This is the millennium. But as we go into the millennium, hear what he says about being a certain kind of God. Verse 16, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He says, yes, that is true. But the real translation is not God of truth. It's God of the Amen. So we read it, shall bless himself in the God of the Amen. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of the Amen. Because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Hallelujah. Here is Jehovah of the Old Testament, the God of the Amen. Here is Jesus of the New Testament, the God of the Amen. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. There it is again, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The New Testament does not reveal another God. It is a further revelation of the one and same God. Christ did not come down to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. He came to reveal and make known the Father. He never talked about two gods. He talked about one God. And now in this last age, we have come back, oh glory, to the capstone revelation, the most important revelation of the Godhead in the whole Bible. That is, Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that about us coming back to this place where we realize that Jesus is God. Many of us had the opportunity to go through denominational churches where they taught us about three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And even when they taught it, be honest, we didn't understand what they were talking about. A lot of us just went along with it because everybody was saying it, but we didn't understand what they were talking about. But I'm so glad that God has finally brought us back to this capstone revelation. We realized, oh, it's just one God. That never really registered with me, you know, the three God doctrine. Never could agree with that, just like I couldn't agree with what happened in the Garden of Eden, just being an apple, you know, or an apricot or some type of physical fruit. It just never really registered with me. So I'm glad that we've come to this truth. God has brought it through his prophet, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. I was going back and just reading where Brother Branham first made that statement. It just blessed my heart just to reread this. But he was out hunting, and he defined hunting as a place to get along with God. And so he was just out hunting, and it was raining that day, and he was thinking that they weren't going to get any game or anything like that. And he says, while he's out just praying and thanking the Lord and, you know, just different things happening in his life, he said, just kind of noticed these three rainbows that would just seem like be going into some type of bowl. It seemed very real, just three rainbows just dropping in this bowl. He said it caught his attention, so he began to walk towards it, and he got pretty close to it, and he heard the voice of the Lord just say, no, just stop, that's enough, don't go no further than that, just stop right there. And he said he was getting ready to take off his shoes to see if he can get a little closer just by having his shoes off, trying to be like Moses, right? And he said, well, he just kind of stayed there, just didn't go any further, and when he got to that spot, he said, Lord, what do you want your servant to know? Why did you get my attention? What is it that you want me to know? And say, just in a voice, just spoke out from there, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And all he did was just change his mass. That's all he did. And he said, oh, praise God. That just confirmed what he had been teaching all along. God himself speaks to the prophecy, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. All he did was change his mask. He said he just began to rejoice there, and then he kind of turned around and he realized that he was just a few yards away, you know, from the spot that God had created the squirrels into existence. He saw the tree, you know, in the distance. He said, you know what, I'm going to just walk over there to that tree, and I'm going to thank God, you know, for giving me them squirrels. And he said he went over there to the tree, and he got up inside the tree, and he just began to pray and just, Lord, I thank you for the squirrels that you gave me. And while he was just worshiping, he said he heard a voice say, how many do you want this time? I just had to stop and ponder on that. How many do you want this time? That means God done did it before. He done did it before. But what do you want this time? And I just, you know, for me, it went beyond just squirrels. I just start looking at just various things that I might have needs of in my own life. And I can look back and see where God has already made a way once before. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I'm going through it again, he's going to ask me, how many you want this time? And if I need it next year, it'll be how many you want this time? Brother Branham said, I just want the limit. And then it just, the inspiration just began to speak, say, I'm gonna have the limit before 10 o'clock today. And they said, the inspiration kept going. It says, mosquitoes all over the place. Say, and not one mosquito gonna bite me while I'm out here hunting. And he said, it was raining. He said, and the sun gonna come out in less than 30 minutes. So when God anoints you to speak, you just let it flow. Just let it come out. Then we hear, open wide your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not going to close our mouth. We're going to open it wide. And when we have a need again, how many you need this time? And God gave him three more squirrels right there in the same spot. He shot them, say, right 3 minutes before 10 o'clock. He shot the third one. Say, no mosquitoes. He said he was looking for them, but they did not bite him. Oh, our God is real. Amen. And all that came after God showed him the revelation that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. God supernaturally vindicated himself with three things. No game of squirrels, no mosquitoes, sunshine. On top of the revelation that he gave him. I keep saying that. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. There's something supernatural that follows that. Oh, and that ain't the only situation where we know that there's power in the name of Jesus. Brother Branham that prayed for that chair to come down, they challenged him. You're going to get that. They said, you're a preacher? See, I'm a preacher. They got a chair up in the air just spinning. And they said, well, take, you know, you get it down. He's like, well, nah, I ain't challenged y'all. I was leaving. Y'all challenged me. And he said, okay, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, chair come down. Say, that chair didn't move. In the name of the High Holies, chair come down. Chair did not move. And they probably thought they had him defeated. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, chair come down. Say, the chair came down and all the legs broke. If we can pray in the name of Jesus, we can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, Deuteronomy 6:4. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Lord, help us. Deuteronomy 6:4. We want to just show it's just one God. Just one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The Lord your God is one, and you should love the Lord God, the Lord thy God, with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Let's go over here in John 14. Jesus is God, he and the Father one, and there is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pick this up in John 14. Let's read verse 6 through 11. John 14. Jesus didn't come to reveal himself, the Son. He came to reveal the Father. John 14. Here in verse 6. Oh, my. Hold on, I think I'm going to start up a little. Let's start at verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I just love the way Jesus did that. He set Thomas up real good. Sometimes, you know, God know all of our personalities. And Thomas had this personality, like, I ain't figured out what he just said. Now, Peter was the type of one that said, I ain't going to even try to explain what he just said. I just know I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to stay right here with you. But Thomas, like, we don't know nothing about what you just said. We don't know the way. We don't know which way you're going. We don't know nothing. Set up for a little bit more revelation. Look at this. He says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Glory to God. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Ain't that something? Because they probably was taught that ain't no man seen God. Nobody can see God and live. That's what people still believe that today. You can't see God and live. Have you seen Jesus? You seen God. He says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. It satisfies us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I can just pause. You haven't known me, Philip? Philip just probably... Philip, he... that have seen me, have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Boy, he just had to feel, he broke it down for Philip, and hopefully Philip caught the revelation. I'm sure he did. But when you're looking at me, Philip, you're looking at the Father. And verse 10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? And the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So here he just, you know, explained to these disciples that, look, when you see me, you see the Father. Not two different gods. Not three different gods. I'm not doing something different. No, it's the Father dwelling in me. It's the Father dwelling in me bringing all this to pass. You needed a kinsman redeemer. And the only way God could not redeem you as a spirit, he had to become flesh. And this is the flesh of God in the body of Jesus. Let's look at another scripture. Go back to John 10. It's only one God. The Lord our God is one. Over here in John 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People act like they want to know the truth. But but they don't really want to know the truth. Right? He says, Jesus answered him, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, glory to God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love the way Jesus is talking to these people. I don't care if you try to get to them on the side and have a little meeting with them and try to share with them your little doctrine. My sheep ain't going to be plucked out of my hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man, glory, hallelujah, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, if you look at verse 28 and 29, it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he says, pluck them out of my Father's hand. What you trying to say, Jesus? Whose hand is it? Is it your hand or is it the Father's hand? Now, you can imagine what they question. Like, what you just said, Jesus? You said pluck them out of your hand. Now you're saying pluck them out of your Father's hand. Now, Jesus didn't wait for him to ask the question, just went ahead and gave him the answer. Verse 30. I am my Father. Are one. Brother Troy was asking a few weeks ago, how did Jesus get these people so upset? Pilate asked the question, what is truth? What made these people so upset that they bring you to me to be crucified? What did you do to these people? Revelation was beyond them. When they said, I am my Father, one, look at what happened next verse. Then the Jews took up stones again. This ain't the first time. They took up stones again to stone him. Lord have mercy. See, it's only one God, and Jesus is God. Let's get another scripture here. 1 Timothy 3:16. We read this before, and we'll read it again. 1 Timothy 3:16. Oh, glory. It's only one God. One. All right. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, if you just go to this scripture, God was manifest in the flesh. Just stop right there. Tell me, where was God manifest in the flesh? And if you understand Jesus, go back and read your Bible all over again. Just read over again. I can't remember the scripture. I think it's might be Isaiah 12. Maybe like verse 2 or something like that. But it talked about Jehovah taking on flesh. And I mean, and I remember asking, yeah, it says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. So I asked a Jehovah Witness one time and say, how did Jehovah become your salvation? How did Jehovah become your salvation? Because y'all don't say Jesus, y'all say Jehovah. How did Jehovah become your salvation? They say he sent his son Jesus. I say, oh, there you go. Now you in the book, right? This is how God was made manifest in the flesh. He came in Jesus. This is also why I always say it was not God just sending his son. It was God becoming the Son. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. My, here's another one. Revelation 4. We got one God. One. It'll never be two. It'll never be three. You can't make the Bible say that. There's too many scriptures saying it's one God. And you got to keep it going from Genesis to Revelation, one God. Amen. Here, Revelation 4. Let's just read it. After this, I looked, and behold, a door. Now, this is in heaven, okay? After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talk with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and notice this, and one set on the throne. So we got God, one God, but we got three different persons. Where are these other three people going to be at? Because it tells us there's only going to be one throne according to the Bible, right? Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one set on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, only talking about one throne all this time, about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, it's only one him that sits on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him, that's before him again, that sat on the throne and worship him. We're not worshiping a father and a son and a Holy Ghost. We're worshiping a him. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure. If I can put it this way, because God had attributes inside of him. Certain things happen on this earth because it released certain attributes out of God. There's certain things that happen in your life because it releases certain attributes from God. Amen. If you never got sick, then you'd never know him as a healer. If you never was bound, then you'd never know him as a deliverer. Right? Amen. If you never got jammed up in something, you'd never know him as a waymaker. Right? Attributes are expressed. And notice, it's for his pleasure. It's for his pleasure. Sometimes it ain't pleasurable for us when we're going through what we're going through, but it's for his pleasure. Oh, my. Amen. Hey, we just need to just sit around. Somebody sent me a little video clip of Deion Sanders. I guess he'd been hurt or something like this. And he just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I said, man, where you get that from? Lord, I think say you don't understand what. Lord, I thank you. That's what we need to get sometimes. Lord, I thank you. No matter what it is, Lord, I thank you. Amen. This is for your pleasure. I don't feel good to me, but it's for your pleasure. Ooh, Jesus. It's for his pleasure. God, I yield to whatever your perfect will is. As long as you get glory out of it. Yes. That's all that matters. Let me go over here to Church Age book and try to finish here tonight with just reading this quote from the Revelation of Jesus Christ. God's prophet said, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is what the Bible says. It doesn't say a thing about a first or second or third person here. It says God was manifest in flesh. One God. That one God was manifested in flesh. That ought to settle it. God came in a human form. That didn't make him another God. He was God, the same God. It was a revelation then, and it is a revelation now. One God. Let's go back in the Bible and see what he was in the beginning. According to the revelation he gave of himself, the great Jehovah appeared to Israel in a pillar of fire as an angel of the covenant. He lived in that pillar of fire and led Israel daily. At the temple, he announced his coming with a great cloud. Then one day he was manifest in a virgin-born body that was prepared for him. The God that tabernacled above the tents of Israel now took on himself a tent of flesh and tabernacled as a man amongst men. But he was the same God. The Bible teaches that God was in Christ. The body was Jesus. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nothing can be plainer than that. Mystery, yes, but actual truth, it can't be plainer. So if he wasn't three people then, he can't be three now. One God, and this same God was made flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, I came from God and I go back to God. John 16, verse 27 through 28. That is exactly what happened. He disappeared from earth by way of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Then Paul met him on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul said, who art thou, Lord? So when Paul was talking to this light, Paul said, who art thou, Lord? The same pillar of fire that was dwelling with the children of Israel, leading them a pillar of cloud by day, but at night it was a pillar of fire. That's what they was following as they were going through the wilderness, the supernatural God leading them. So that same pillar of fire that the children of Israel were following, now Paul sees the same pillar of fire and says, who art thou, Lord? As he's on the road to Damascus going to kill Christians, he says, who art thou, Lord? The pillar of fire spoke back to Paul. He said, I am Jesus. He was a pillar of fire, a blinding light. He had turned back exactly as he said he would. Now, I need us to try to let's just camp there just for a little bit. This light that Paul saw on the road to Damascus answered him and told him he was Jesus. And the problem is people can't catch Jesus in the various forms that he comes. Pillar fire is Jesus. The flesh on the earth is Jesus, right? And I'm going to take you to a little further one. Michael, the archangel, is Jesus. Brother Branham said Jesus was Michael in the angelic realm. And people have a problem with that. But how are you going to have a problem with him being the pillar of fire? See, it's just a different realm. It's in the angelic realm. You don't have nothing to do with that realm, right? But in the angelic realm, it's Christ as Michael the archangel. I remember Brother X said, now, brother, where you get that from in the scripture? Brother Branham said it, but where does the Bible say it? Now, you'll never find in the Bible Michael the archangel is Christ. But what you will find in the Bible is the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice, and trump. The Lord himself. Well, who is the Lord himself? It is Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I told you, you got to be careful. You got to be able to see things by revelation. If you can't catch it by revelation, you're going to miss it. Hallelujah. All right, all right, all right. Let's look at this. He goes on to say this. I am Jesus. He was a pillar of fire, blind and light. He had turned back exactly as he said he would, back to the same form that he was before he took on the tabernacle of flesh. That is exactly how John saw it. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Declared him, made him known. Notice where John says that Jesus is. He's in the bosom of the Father. It goes on. It says, Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born the Christ. And 8 days later, when he was circumcised, he was named Jesus. He was born the Christ. But he was named, 8 days later, named Jesus. Even as the angel had told them, I was born of Branham. When I was born, they gave me the name of William. Ain't that powerful? See, the blood that was in me was Branham blood, is what he's trying to say. And there was nothing that nobody could do. Even if they didn't give me a first name, I would still be Branham. And whatever your name that you was, whatever family was born in, that would be your name. But they gave you a first name. Hallelujah. They gave you a first name to better identify you, right? But he said he was born Christ, but gave the name Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This goes on. He says, I was born of Branham. When I was born, they gave me the name of William. He was Christ, but he was given a name down here among men. The outward tabernacle men could see was called Jesus. He was the Lord of glory. Amen. The Almighty manifested in flesh. He is God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is all that. It says, Father, Son, Holy Ghost are just titles. They are not names. That is why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is a name, not a title. It is the name of those titles. Just like you take a newborn baby who is a son and name him, baby is what it is. Son is the title. Then you name him John Henry Brown. You just don't baptize in Jesus' name. There are thousands of Jesuses in the world and have been even before Jesus, our Savior. But there is only one of them born, the Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. One God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all. And Paul also tells us, and in you all. Thank God that this revelation has come back to the church in this hour, and we can stand firmly on this. We contend for this faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Going from church to church, traveling, trying to find something. But God, you brought it. You found us, oh God, like the mother eagle found her baby. And you just let out a scream. We came running out of those chicken yards. We got people still stumbling around with these things. And how many are having Bible study tonight talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, still trying to get clarity on this? But we sit here tonight with true revelation and true understanding of your word. The Lord our God is one. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, help us to be able to share this with others. And as Jesus said, that God, no man will be able to pluck us from your hand. And God, I believe that's spoken over so many that have maybe been a little confused by what the enemy's done. But God, you promised that no man could pluck them from your hand. Somehow, some way, you'll turn them around. We commit them to you, oh God. And let's pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be light in the midst of darkness and help us to walk, Father, according to this truth that's been given. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements that I want to make. Don't forget Sunday morning prayer, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then Sunday morning service be at 10:30. Did our project work tonight? Okay, all right. So we'll continue streaming through Twitter and through Facebook. And we are working diligently to provide a solution where we'll stream directly from our church website like we had before. So we'll let you know. We'll announce when that is up and running. Also, we were asking for donations for the, we're going to be giving away turkeys on tomorrow at the pantry and Thanksgiving turkeys. So we're just asking that if you'd like to just give some money towards that, we'd certainly appreciate it. I think our goal is to buy 50 turkeys and to give them out. It's going to be a blessing to 50 families. Here in our area. And I know that last week there were some people that come through and they remembered that we had done that last year. And so they, are y'all doing turkeys again? So Sister Tina was very careful not to commit anything to them. Just come and see. But when they come on tomorrow, we plan to be a blessing to 50 families. So if you desire to participate in that, just either you can give the money directly to Brother Quentin, or if you want to use Cash App or something like that, you can Cash App it. Just make sure you put that it's for the turkey giveaway. I got a flyer from Brother Danny. They're going to be having meetings the first weekend of December. That's December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's going to start on a Friday night. They have a service on Friday night. They have a service on Saturday morning, then I believe they have a fellowship on Saturday afternoon there on the property, and then they have another service on Sunday morning. I believe it's Brother Tim Pruitt and his son, Timothy Pruitt, that are going to be coming to do the meetings. Some of you all may be aware, but Brother Tim Pruitt earlier this year lost his wife. She was going through a number of things in the body and had overcome multiple times. But the Lord saw fit to call her home. And so, you know, just continue to keep him in prayer. But him and his son, they'll be doing the meetings there at House of Fellowship on December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So keep that in mind. Also want to remember Brother Aaron Mugo, Sister Rebecca's fiance. He lost his grandmother this morning. I believe she was 84 years old, and grandma has property, and she has a field that she works in, and she gets up in the morning, she goes to that field, and she worked at 84. She's out there working in the field, but God just called her home while she was sleeping, and at 84 years old, just peaceful release, you know, and it's never easy to lose a loved one, but we do thank the Lord that he just made it so easy for her to transition, and I'm be honest, I done talked to the Lord and prayed and asked God to, Lord, take me like that, please. I don't want to end up in the hospital somewhere and stuck in there for days and out and years and just let me go to sleep and go home. Amen. I think that's a good way to go. Or just take me in a rapture. I take that too, you know. Quick body change. but you know, we just thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for 84 years. We thank God for a peaceful transition, amen, from this life. So just keep Brother Aaron in your prayers, if you don't mind. Here our giving, amen, is through either PayPal or Cash App if you're giving online, and you can get to the PayPal right there on the church website if you need to. That's at the top of the screen. If you use PayPal, make sure you choose the option give to a friend, a family member, and the email address that you'll use is giving@john423.org. And then also if you use Cash App, our handle is $SpiritandTruthT. And if you'd like to mail something in, we have our mailing address there at the bottom of the screen that you can mail something in. It's Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222-462, and that's West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. So that's for our giving. Amen tonight. So we will prepare to just have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. But before we do, did anybody have any special prayer requests or just a short testimony they want to just kind of share? Okay, I got. Certainly thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Virginia. Okay. David Tate. Okay. We'll remember him in prayer. Anybody else? Yes, yes. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll certainly remember Sister Bernice in prayer. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Yes.
Just that church we keep in prayer. I just have a pain in my neck the past couple of days.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll remember Brother Troy in prayer. Amen. All right. Let's take these requests before God's throne. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity we have to be able to come to you with thanksgiving and with requests. Thank you for watching over Sister Brown's granddaughter. We realize it could have been much worse, but God, you spared her, and I believe you have a reason. You have purpose for sparing us, you have purpose for allowing us to continue to live. I pray, God, that hearts would be turned towards you and just realize how much grace that has been given. And God, and how we should just give back to you all that you've given to us. We just ask that you would just continue to watch over her, and you know the needs that she'll have with the vehicle. Provide, God, in all the way that you can. We also want to remember Sister Virginia's brother-in-law, God, who they thought was very close to a heart attack or something, but God, you allowed him to get there and get care at the hospital. So Lord, we just pray that you just touch him and that you would just bring him through. You get in between him and his condition, the blood pressure that's kind of out of control. Lord, you can bring it back and normalize it because you designed the body. We want to remember Sister Bernice, and Lord, as you brought her through all of her studies and got her to this point where she can take a board test. God, go before her, Lord, and just bring all things back to her memory, and what a tremendous opportunity she has to step into this next phase of life. And we just ask that you would be with the Lord and help her to do well on the board, oh God, do very well. And may she have the Prince of Peace there with her, oh God, as she's taking the test. And Lord, just bless her, amen, as she's there. We want to remember Brother Troy, this little discomfort that he's feeling, oh God, there in his neck. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would touch him and that you would make him completely whole. Whatever it is that is coming against him, we ask, God, that you will lay your nail scarred hands right there on that area, and that you give him the release that he needs, oh God, relieve all the pain and every symptom. We call it a lie in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to give to you and ask that you use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. And how we just appreciate this time together tonight. And as we prepare to leave, go in our respective ways, go with us, Lord. Bless our going out as you have blessed our coming in. Keep us until we're able to come back together again for prayer on Sunday morning, and then for service Sunday morning as well, God. Be glorified and magnified in all that we do in Jesus' name. We want to remember Brother Aaron and his family, that you watch over them, God, at this time, and the loss of his grandmother. We just trust, God, that you would just give strength to the family, Lord, and encourage them. I want to also remember my cousin who's in the hospital, Lord, and just been fighting on and off. Just give him complete and total deliverance, God, is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. We say God bless you to those that joined us online as well.